interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally-controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude-Busting episode BTWRLM 625. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind the woodshed for that dose of reality, because you can't go wrong when you get you behind the woodshed. And my disdain for the fallible one aside, this was good to hear. Not being a spectator before finally being set free from this place to the Almighty's mercy, every night the Pope called a small church in Gaza. Francis asked Palestinian Catholics to be strong. Hours after the Israeli-Hamas war began in October 2023, the Holy Catholic Church in Gaza received a call from Rome. It was the first of what became nightly discussions between the parishioners of the Holy Family Church and Pope Francis. The Pope, quote, always healed our wounds and asked us to be strong, close quote, said Suhail Abdu Daoub, 19. I'm saying 19. This is how young the population is there. Quote, he was always praying for us, close quote. Francis would make sure to speak to everyone in the room, not just the priests or another parishioner said. When Pope Francis died Monday, quote, we lost a man who fought every day in every direction to protect this small herd of us, said George Antoni. The calls to the Palestinian Catholics, which became part of the Pope's daily schedule, sometimes took hours to go through, per Washington Post. Quote, but he never gave up until he reached us and delivered his message, said Reverend Gabriel Romanelli. The Pope's final call to the Holy Family was on Saturday. He asked for our prayers, gave us his blessing, and thanked us for our commitment to peace, Romanelli said. When Daoud heard the Pope had died, he said that he was deeply saddened, and he was our biggest supporter after God, Daoud said. We're told not to speak ill of the dead, and not being a fan of the fallible one, I'll leave with that account right there. Some people in Gaza were comforted and inspired by Pope Francis. You know, really glad to see and hear that. There's a video out there if you find it. My thought was that should have been what he led with everywhere, not this other stuff. It continues while the reorganization of globalism continues at home on earth, as it is in heaven? I don't know, but Davos unmasked turmoil and scandal jolt the World Economic Forum. You know, I've been talking a little bit about this reorganization that's going on. All that was being used in the past is being dispensed with, and new things are being put in place, likely undercover, that we won't know for quite a while. But here's now the story of how this is rolling out. The collaborators get whacked. Klaus Schwab quit as World Economic Forum WEF chairman and amid whistleblower claims of misusing funds for posh freebies. This included staff making ATM cash withdrawals on his behalf, hotel massages, and luxury trips masked as meetings. Both Klaus Schwab himself and the World Economic Forum in Davos have been mired in scandal. Top-level toxicity was one of the things that they did under his tutelage. Schwab presided over a workplace culture where sexual harassment by senior managers as well as Davos VIP attendees was not properly investigated. Pregnancy was a career killer for female staffers. WEF was rife with racism as well. Black employees like ex-staffer Topaz Smith raised complaints of race bias governing promotions and being snubbed from events. In addition, white colleagues used the N-word in front of them. And the workplace discrimination was another. On top of that, you'll see a little bit of this in the United States too, this discrimination about racism. I think we'll have a tab for that coming. Schwab handpicked leaders for loyalty, guile, and sex appeal, making himself irreplaceable, a whistleblower told The Guardian in 2023. Partner firms voiced worries about the lack of succession strategy. We also had what we saw and continue to watch, the greenwashing and eco-hypocrisy. And again, this is a hit going down. Glad to see it for sure, but this is what's being taken down. don't think it's going away. We'll do some a little bit reports here this episode relative to this too. Conservative-leaning mainstream U.S. media have pointed out the stark contrast between WEF participants' environmental rhetoric and their lavish lifestyle choices. While they preach sustainability, many attendees travel in private jets and indulge in luxury four-star accommodations, sparking accusations of hypocrisy. In 2016, WEF claimed global oil demand would peak by 2030, yet the 2023 energy crisis showed that hydrocarbons were still essential. But that's not also showing in 2025 to Germany and most of Europe. In 2018, George Soros warned of a nuclear war with North Korea, but mutual summits followed shortly, proving him wrong. COVID-related conspiracy theories was this big thing that we all found out about him more than probably anything else. The Great Reset, COVID-19 economic measures triggered fears of world leaders using it to seize power. Claims of promoting bug eating and brain implants fueled suspicion of a hidden agenda to control the future of mankind. And one not mentioned in this article is that this public assassination of the organization doesn't mean that the globalism agenda is done and dead. As I've repeatedly and routinely pointed out, that the agenda is fully onshored and functioning, probably wherever you are. I'm speaking mainly for the United States of America. It's onshored already. We're hearing, again, I show you the dialogue. You can see the clues by the language that's being used. And this focus on Klaus Schwab and WEF, and focus on that, you missed what the other hand was doing to pick your pockets at home relative to this already infrastructure implantation on sourcing, onshore sourcing, and you missed under the cover of the proposed conspiracy theory mentioned there, that narrowly averted, that the bug-eating and brain-eating implants fueled suspicion of hidden agenda to control the future of mankind is the cognitive warfare your perception suffers that they put on you to control your behavior, even your inaction, which I see much, much more of than our need to stop these controls that are ongoing all the time. So this is why they don't want you active. They don't want you to stand up and stop them. So they want it to, even if you don't like it, they don't care. They're going to keep going. Your inaction enables them. But most people are, again, the cognitive warfare works. And I've reported on this over and over routinely behind Woodshed for years now. Klaus Schwab and WEF have done their part right at this point on this kabuki stage, so they get to exit stage leftist now to see who's entering stage right, and we see none other than the techno swamp creatures having Trump's nicked ear, don't we? All that infrastructure being brought right in. It's right in on us. They're just now tying it all together. And to prove the sustainable development agenda is not going away, and we're beginning to hear these such stories that were still going on, and we're never going to end. It doesn't matter what Trump does. I don't care if he gets out the Paris Accord. These people were all globally situated. These stories that are tying also to the United States as well. And it doesn't matter, again, what Trump promised. He can do what he wants. He's only doing it as an executive. There's laws inside the system that are already making this a thing. But we jump over to the UK. We now see experiments in to dim the sun will be approved within weeks. Scientists consider brightening clouds to reflect sunshine among ways to prevent runaway climate change. Experiments to dim sunlight to fight global warming will be given the green light by the government within weeks. Outdoor field trials, which could include injection aerosols into the atmosphere or brightening clouds to reflect sunshine, are being considered by scientists as a way to prevent runaway climate change. It's in each paragraph here, I suppose. AREA, the government's Advanced Research and Invention Funding Agency, has set aside £50 million for projects which will be announced in the coming weeks. Professor Mark Symes, the program's director at AREA, that's the Advanced Research and Invention Agency, said there would be, quote, small controlled outdoor experiments on particular approaches. We will be announcing who we have given funding in the next few weeks, and when we do so, we will be making clear when an outdoor experiment might be taking place, like that's going to help. Quote, one of the missing pieces in the debate was the physical data from the real world. Models can only tell us so much. You understand what they're doing. They're actually, you're in the vessel of the experiment. You're in the petri dish. Everything we do is going to be safe by design. We're absolutely committed to responsible research, including responsible outdoor research, safe and effective, folks. But we have strong requirements around the length of time experiments can run and for the reversibility, and we won't be funding the release of any toxic substances to the environment. Safe and effective, folks. Geoengineering projects. We hear this coming out of the government's mouth, really, the word? Geoengineering projects, which seek to artificially alter the climate, have proven controversial, with critics arguing that they could bring damage knock-on effects, as well as being an unhelpful distraction from lowering emissions. However, scientists are increasingly concerned that carbon dioxide levels are not falling fast enough, and the further action may be needed to prevent catastrophic warming. So we take out Klaus Schwab, but we start implementing the very plans that we've been hearing coming. Now they're actually talking about it and going to go ahead and do it. And any of my listener in the UK, you might want to compel at least a debate at this point about the geoengineering and weather modification crime, as I see it, not just some knock-on effects. Again, there's so much to go on this wrong. First of all, climate change is not about the weather. So that's the first start. Michael Mann made global warming up, and this is all part of this agenda to bring on these things. They are trying to do a little bit of due process there about wanting to hear from the public, which is really not much in the UK, except they also allow for a petition to be signed. If enough people have signed from the UK, UK residents, I think they'll call it, have signed that, then the last thing I saw was it's already past one point. It's going to go into the parliamentary debate if it gets to 100,000. They were a quarter of that when I last looked. If you want to engage that, my UK listener, please go fill that out. Get at least the numbers up and get that thing up for debate. Then you know what to do. You get behind the woodshed with them. Bring that dose of reality and try to defend yourself as best as you can. Again, the main thing is bringing up the idea that it's not been proven. It's just a consensus, not a fact. They're jumping three or four steps beyond trying to do these aerosols because of climate change. They haven't proved climate change. It's an agenda. It's a consensus. It's not scientific fact. And it's dealing, we can go through the whole list. It's dealing with our environment. The environment's been here for millions and millions of years, they'll tell us. I think that's probably a better proof than what they can bring up. So the petition says make all forms of geoengineering affecting the environment illegal. I'm not sure where that goes for y'all in UK and what that means, but engage it and see what you can do for yourselves. And remember, in the United States, if you go to Title 50, the same title for the War Department that talks about bioweapons and other things that they can do to your environment, there is a notice and there is a response objection you can file. Not many do it. Not many find the notice, but you can do it anyway. And I would do it anyway. And those of you that, in fact, the states that are outlawing it, we're finding they have no teeth, but you can still make the notices and you can still track it down. Those of you that are really interested, instead of just typing out on the keyboards on X or whatever, or Facebook, whatever, start making yourself functional. Start engaging the system and the due process that's available for us, fruitless as it seems like it is. As I've told you, we've done in the Jefferson Mining District, I was able to do quite a bit of comment authoring. And you can actually shut stuff down, and or you get involved, at least in the United States, when you do that and it doesn't go the way you want and you have a good reason and they haven't given a good reading on what you did and applied it and it's still outstanding, you can sue that. You can sue that out, as I've explained behind woodshed plenty of time. There's a way to get involved. You have standing once you make your complaint. If you don't, you just sit there, twiddle your thumbs, and you can complain all until you... Everybody I see on the internet complaining about all the way the crisscross up in the sky. You're wasting your time. Get on, find the notice plates, find the places where you put the notice and track them down and start doing your administrative stuff at this point. And as I said, start flexing that muscle until you get better at what you're doing instead of just what I see on the internet. So anyway, speaking of a Krupp connections to the UK and the US as well. We finally hear from an involved country where the terrorists like Is Us have come from. If you've never known before or listened close enough to hear that behind the woodshed. Very interesting, like I said. Just wait for them to speak it, and now you've got an admission, at least. In this case, I believe that art, if you look at that video, it's a confession as well. And so you have them, and you understand the truth, and you don't have to listen to the mis- and disinformation and malinformation from your government. Pakistan did dirty work, like dirty air, I suppose, for the West in supporting terrorists, a defense minister said. Pakistan defense minister says this. Khawaja Asif has admitted that Islamabad-backed terrorist groups on behalf of the U.S. and U.K. Pakistani defense minister Asif has called out the West, the U.S. in particular, for its role in security tensions in the region. Asked about his country's support for terrorism in an interview released on Friday, Asif admitted that Islamabad did, quote, the dirty work, close quote, for the Western powers for decades. We have been doing this dirty work for the United States for about three decades, you know, and the West, including Britain, Asif told the British broadcaster on Thursday. He added that this was a mistake, and Pakistan has suffered for that. Quote, if we had not joined the war against the Soviet Union, which was the one in Afghanistan, and the war after 9/11, Pakistan's track record would have been unimpeachable, Asif said. He was referring to the Soviet-Afghan war, during which the United States covertly subverted anti-communist insurgents and the U.S.-led war on terror that was launched by the then President George W. Bush following the September 11, 2001 attacks, and which targeted the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. How long have I been saying that? It's Al-Qaeda in the report. Behind the woodshed, we have a bit of a speech impediment we've had forever. It's Al-Qaeda. Asif also claimed that the West has long used terrorist groups as proxies, noting that many now labeled as terrorists were once welcomed in Washington. Quote, when we were fighting in the war on their side, way back in the 80s against the Soviet Union, all these terrorists of today, they were winning and dining in Washington. They were treated like VIPs in those days, he said. And I'll remind you, and those of you that have any perception of this at all, have been doing any study, you know, it was Osama bin Laden that was said to be a CIA asset, and he wined and dined in Washington, just like this guy says. So now we have some correlating evidence across time, and so I can probably fairly well take this guy's word for it. It is, not is, it's Is Us, as I've been saying, and it's Al-Qaeda, like our speech impediment requires us to enunciate here behind the woodshed. The minister suggested that groups considered terrorists in the region are not distinct entities, but part of a single organization with a shared religious ideology. Quote, they're all mixed up. They're not multiple organizations. They're just one single organization, religiously organized and with different faces, different leadership. At times they work together. At times they fight with each other. Can we just say Syria? Isn't that what we were saying this whole time? And other places, other terrorists all over the world, if we look. Asif went on to say that, quote, no country in the world has suffered so much from terrorism as Pakistan, and accused India of following a pattern of blaming Pakistan for terrorist attacks on its soil. And this interview came up because Pakistan and India are now having some real trouble now going on. And so I found this to be a real weak admission relative to what they need to do. But it was an admission that's serious to the United States and we the people in understanding what the, talk about cognitive warfare, what the government did to us. We met the enemy, and he are us. I say that almost sadly as I think back all these years. It's not good to call your country no good, but it's no good. We fell off the rails somewhere a long time ago, and no one understood that. Yes, lots of people have been coming to see it. Yes, certainly since 9-1-1, and maybe even certainly more since the Kobe swindle. There's some of us that have been doing this for decades and decades. The decades that they were go back that this article would even talk about. You know, we've been seeing this the whole entire time, waiting for people to come along. And we watched our country just, well, again, it's just not what it was claimed to be. It's a bully. It's a big organized criminal syndicate. You know, when I say that, I never feel good about any of it, but it's the truth. But until we get that cleared up and cleaned up, and we get some admissions out of our own government, not what we see today that covers other things. Again, the stuff that points one finger to something, and then, but you got three pointing back. No, when we get a real admission, we get the president that actually starts saying, this is what we've done wrong, we're stopping it here, and this is what we're taking out. Not all the hesitations. Well, until we get there, America cannot be made great again. There's just no way. And we watch this continuation, this continuum, as the old tactics and tools get found out and need to be removed. Klaus Schwab. Remember, it was Fink in BlackRock that said, no, it's not them, it's actually us. And you watch their adjustments going on. It's all in the news. I've been bringing all this to us. But as this stuff gets found out and removed, and then they need to do some sprucing up to hide the tactics and the new tools more efficiently, Muskrat, Rubio announces reorganization of State Department to cut bureaucracy. You notice the theme. And yet you look at through this and you see nothing of the sort actually happening. And as we'll see, as I've been saying, some other things are going wrong as well. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio on Tuesday announced plans to reorganize the State Department, which will reduce bureaucracy and enhance efficiency, including eliminating redundant foreign offices and programs. This is an interesting statement as well. Foreign offices and programs. Eliminate those. The State Department. The State Department is an outward-looking department of the federal government, not supposed to be looking inward. Upcoming cuts to the State Department structure as part of the overhaul will be at least 132 out of 734 offices, approximately 70%, will be closed, along with 700 positions within them. This includes offices dedicated to promoting human rights, advancing democracy abroad, and countering extremism, and preventing war crimes. Do you hear that list, folks? Have you ever seen the State Department turning inward to do any of this? And then we looked at what they did, and looking outward, they did every one of those things to do the reverse, didn't they? Pakistani defense minister just told us three of them. So, this is an outward-looking agent of the government in its organized crime capacity. So, let us chew on this word salad a bit here. He intends to remove offices dedicated to promoting human rights, advancing democracy abroad, countering extremism, and preventing war crimes. How convenient. The last office gives us that Rosetta Stone, I think, as what's behind the efficiency enhancement. Remember, two words right there that they're used in sustainable development all the time. Apparently, the office preventing war crimes while supporting the genocidal war crimes committed by the Zionist political party regime in Palestine was giving the administration a bit of trouble inside. So the office preventing war crimes has to go. Likewise, the office of promoting human rights. And it's gone. Advancing democracy abroad. As I said in the past, democracy is a weapon, right, CIA? And that got caught abroad for being a fraud. But the natives at home prefer democracy to the organic republic that they don't seem to know or aren't too interested in to keep. And that's gone. The State Department also plans to transfer 137 of its offices to different areas within the agency as part of an effort to consolidate programs, the report added. So what this appears to me to be is Trump reorganizing, consolidating, and monopolizing foreign-influenced government force at home, onshoring the third-party foreign-influenced corporate help for a more efficient force multiplier against we the people right here at home, right? P.T. Barnum Muskrat? And what about countering extremism? Well, extremism is homegrown, isn't it? It's fostered, encouraged, or caused by a government agency, right, FBI? And we've heard that just last episode, if no one paid attention since 9/11 and the PATRIOT Act, the homegrown are next. The government guns are being more efficiently and sustainably aimed within the gates of the open-air prison, soon to be the Siberian Gulag, it seems. But the Trump cheerleaders will only notice and care about the couple of deck chairs being removed with the apparent smaller government and all the unverified budget savings, and contrary to objective fact, while the music plays, as the iceberg has not moved but gotten closer. And Congress has made none of these fixes law to change that course, preferring to be more absent than present, waiting to kick the can again in September. Earlier this month, Punchbowl News reported that State Department plans to close at least 17 American embassies and consulates, specifically in countries such as Eritrea, Luxembourg, South Sudan, and Malta, when the goal was to bring the world to parity. Democracy has done its job. Right, Klaus Schwab? Direct democracy as well. You got everybody's mind set in a gutter. So there's no reason to invest further, but move on to the next destructive project here and be removed from the current one. Right, USAID, Soros, Pope Francis, Klaus Schwab, on the deck of that ship of state. And by the way, was the transfer of Zelensky's handshake curse part of the secret deal with Ukraine, Vice President Vance? Ask him for an intrigued friend of the broadcast behind the woodshed. And no, the WEF agenda is not going anywhere, as I've said. I'm going to remind you on this over and over. It's already onshored. It's been at least four decades now being tucked into tighter by Trump more efficiently, whether he knows it or not. And despite our four failed Jefferson Mining District attempts to expose it to Trump 1.0. Right, Muskrat? You weren't even around then. You don't even know this stuff, do you? How about it, Palantir? Did a guy behind the woodshed see you coming too long ago? Amid State Department cuts, a new bureau emerges. Bureau of Emerging Threats is part of a sweeping overhaul of Rubio's department. What did he just say? We're going to not focus on the going out. We're going to focus inside. We're going to have a Bureau of Emerging Threats. What have they been saying since the Patriot Act? PATRIOT Act. You are the emerging threat. The reorganization plan announced by Rubio on social media and detailed in documents obtained by the AP is the latest effort by the White House to reimagine. Another sustainability word. You see how this works, folks? Are you getting it? All these words are right here built into the system. The White House is going to reimagine U.S. foreign policy and scale back the size of the federal government as it's looking out. It's going to look in. Reimagine what its foreign policy is going to be. The initial reorganization focuses on domestic offices rather than overseas consulates and embassies, notes CNN. Now, that the U.S. government is foreign to the states, what is there to reimagine than that those newly identified homegrown are the new emerging threat? So says Trump. How or where does an Office of Emerging Threats find foreign threats unless those threats are anticipated to be right down the street in Virginia or nearby like Kentucky or Florida? Let's reimagine this, all right? The department has sent the reorganization plans to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Domestic Foreign Affairs. Makes sense of that for me, if not, as I'm observing. What sense is this making? And don't forget the FBI, Homeland Security, CIA, and a whole gob and a bunch of federal enforcement agencies are involved since you were deemed the lone wolf extremist or terrorist after 9/11, or in a term, sovereign citizen. That's an oxymoron to begin with, and the sovereign citizen would be the officials. but they've twisted it around. You're the extremist. The sovereignty is in the people, not sovereign citizens. Or as they now, those that speak truth to power when getting behind a woodshed, trying to undo the harm the cognitive warfare has wrought on we the people, is who become the extremist, isn't it? But the Ferners deserve it, right? We can watch our society being played, the whole entire, anybody who looked at this can see databases of health, labor, housing agencies' data to find targets. A document viewed by 404 Media describes ICE's plans to incorporate data from the Department of Labor, the Health and Human Services, and the Department of Housing and Urban Development into a tool called 8TRACT. A-T-R-A-C. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is planning to bring together data from a wide variety of other U.S. government agencies, including the Department of Labor. I just named them all recently. Oh, and the IRS pops up, interestingly. Get last episode. Start putting this all together. To make a centralized database to identify immigration targets, according to the document. The news signals ICE's heavy emphasis on bringing disparate data sets together. Disparate data sets together in order to carry out President Trump's mass deportation effort. The tool called ATRAC and Alien Tracker in the document is planned to allow for the management of all enforcement priorities and to provide near real-time tracking of both targets on a local level and a broader set of immigration enforcement targets around the country. Now go back and think about that, folks. They're going to other agencies to get this real-time targeting. It's already there. It's already tracking. All you got to do is look at it. Right, Muskrat? So keep thinking this doesn't mean you, my homegrown cud-chewing American, because it's only for those pro-Semitic types. Right? Soon to be Trump's American homegrowns, and then expanded, as we can read today. FBI Michigan State Police search pro-Palestine activists' homes. We don't have freedom of speech, I guess, and freedom of association, and freedom of thought, and freedom of nothing, I guess. FBI and Michigan State Police search pro-Palestine activists' home. Again, remember, the media is identifying these people for you. We've not talked to any of them. I've never seen any of them. They never talk. We never get their speech. We don't know what they're really doing. But this is what they want to make us believe. Pro-Palestine. I was wondering, isn't it anti-genocide? Isn't it pro-law, pro-international law, pro-respect? Anyway, the article says, law enforcement officials, including the FBI, Michigan State Police, and local jurisdictions, executed a series of search warrants in Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, and Canton Wednesday morning. Attorney General's Office spokesman Danny Wimmer says that the search warrants were executed against multiple individuals at several locations. He says ICE was not involved, nor anyone else regarding immigration enforcement. That was quick. Wimmer says only the search warrants were served. Quote, some individuals were briefly detained and released in the execution of the search warrant. No arrest warrants are being executed, and to my knowledge, no arrests have taken place. And you get to find out, I don't have the link, I don't think I have the link to the video. Maybe I do. Yes, I think I might do in the Twitter. You track that down. They are blasting in a door to get into this house. It's a pretty strong door. I had to smile. They have to go to the fourth and fifth shot before the door starts to even come apart. But they are blasting this door to get in on something you just heard there was no arrests over. The cops busted into their door for nothing more than to ask a couple of questions. Makes America great again, right? According to the advocacy group TAHRIR Coalition, the raids took place at the homes of University of Michigan pro-Palestine activists, and officers confiscated electronic devices. Wimmer says it was part of an investigation into acts of vandalism and not protests on the UM campus. So what did I say? They've expanded this all the way over to vandalism. This wasn't illegals, but Americans. Pro-Semitic Americans. Pro-Semitic homegrown supporters. Suspicion of vandalism on state property is a Trump administration FBI property vandalizing matter. In what constitutional republic form government cannot make America great again? And I sent off an extra, you might be able to get to it. I responded to something regarding this. Why is the FBI involved, which has the video on it, why is the FBI involved in a state matter on state property over vandalism yielding no arrests? And only with those associated with pro-Semitism events. Are you following what I'm doing here, folks? Pro-Semitism. If you don't know what I'm saying, you need to go do some better research to find out why we can say that, and then what the lie and the fraud is that's being perpetrated by the government itself to bring innocent people under an attack, an invasion of where they live. All under the color that a judge signed an arrest warrant. Couldn't just knock on the door. No, they got to blast the door in. And the FBI feds are involved. And now we're getting into where we have another type of problem, getting back into potential so-called illegals. It doesn't matter which uniparty member commands the tiller of the ship of state. It doesn't matter which uniparty official is where they are. The state runs by lawfare and politics rules. No. Again, all in the same week, all as it just came through. I just can't believe sometimes I'm handed this stuff to identify how terribly wrong it's going. If I can use the word hypocrisy, I need a better word than that. This is way worse than hypocrisy. And everybody's cheerleading how great Trump is doing this stuff. They're willing to give up all their rights, due process, just to vilify somebody else. They have no clue what's going on. And I can say that because those people have their own thing to say. I've said it before. They have the due process right. It's not for me to say what their defenses might be or their rights or their requests might be under law. But we have to give everybody that right. Otherwise, you diminish your own. And you have none, as most of us see anyway. That's how close we are to this. Prosecutors. Long Island beekeeper hid role in genocide. In 2003, Faustin Nsabumukunzi applied for refugee status in the U.S., settling in the Hamptons on Long Island and resuming the beekeeping he'd done in his native Rwanda. He eventually received a green card and applied for U.S. citizenship. But federal prosecutors now say Nsabumukunzi harbored a dark secret. He lied to officials during his various application processes about his involvement in the brutal Rwanda genocide. So, jumping way down to the government's rationale, the feds are saying, quote, for over two decades, he got away with these lies and lived in the United States with an undeserved clean slate, a luxury that his victims will never have. But thanks to the tenacious efforts of our investigators and prosecutors, the defendant finally will be held accountable for his brutal actions, said U.S. Attorney John J. Durham during the press release. So if the feds are so concerned with genocide and international justice, why did Congress not give Nsabumukunzi many standing ovations that Satan Yehu got? Where has been the tenacious efforts of our investigators and prosecutors of the United States government in that? What sort of discrimination is Nsabumukunzi suffering? Is it because he's black? It can't be Semitism, because neither Nsabumukunzi or Benjamin Milikowski Satan Yehu, son of Polish-born Ben Zion Milikowski, are Semitic to my knowledge. One of those two is a rabid Zionist, however. Why isn't the United States consistent in its treatment of those committing genocide, or as international law equally obligates it? Clearly, the United States is interested in bringing justice to all cases of genocide, right, President Peacemaker Trump? Who does the United States government work for? That Netanyahu escapes justice while a black man goes to prison for the same offense? Or is it you all really don't like bees? Moving on to this consolidation of data acquisition, real-time, and use. As I've been mentioning, Elon Musk's Doge, D-O-G, and Palantir develop IRS mega API amid Social Security data controversy and AI surveillance concerns. Again, the last few episodes have been bringing this along. Now it coalesces. We now have it working. You listen to the prior tabs of content coming in. You see all these agencies are tied together. ICE is tying into the rest. One giant identity database, centralized. So efficient, folks. You think it's about bringing government down and making it more efficient. The Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, led by Elon Musk, is collaborating with Palantir Technologies to develop a comprehensive mega API for the Internal Revenue Service. This project, initiated with a 3-day hackathon, aims to create a single API layer that will integrate all IRS databases, allowing more efficient data management and access. The Mega API project is expected to be completed in 30 days. Doge's vision includes using Palantir's Foundry software as the central system for accessing and possibly modifying all IRS data, though it remains unclear who will have access to this system. Oh, it couldn't be Israel, could it? The Government Accountability, right, Palantir, Thiel? The Government Accountability Office is currently probing Doge's handling of sensitive data at the Treasury and other departments. In addition to the IRS project, Doge's activity has sparked controversies, particularly with regards to the Social Security Administration. Critics, including several members of Congress, have raised concerns, about Doge's handling of sensitive data and its impact on Social Security benefits. There are allegations that DOGE, Doge, through staffer Antonio Gracias, may have violated court orders by accessing Social Security data to push voter fraud narratives. Fears persist that changes implemented by Doge could affect the administration's efficiency and the benefits it provides. Doge's use of artificial intelligence, AI, to monitor federal workers' communications for anti-Trump sentiment has also drawn scrutiny. I've got to pause again over and over here. Actually, I should be pausing a lot. I'm just stunned I read this stuff. Do you understand the integration that's going on? And do you understand when one uniparty member leaves, the other persuasion picks it up and does what they want to you? More efficiently now. The surveillance, along with the use of the Signal app in the news as a breach for communications and the deployment of Musk's Grok AI chatbot, raises questions about data security and transparency within the federal government. You think that's what those donations were to the Trump campaign that he accepted? At the Environmental Protection Agency, DOGE's AI monitoring has been reported to target language considered hostile to Trump or Musk. While we also see why Elon Musk's DOGE savings goal fell from $2 trillion to a much smaller figure. As I said, climate change is not about the weather. Government efficiency is not about saving money. Before he formally joined Donald Trump's administration, Elon Musk made some bold claims about the amount he could save the United States government through cuts to wasteful and fraudulent spending. The longer he spends in the White House, though, the smaller the number is seemingly getting. Musk initially said he could save $2 trillion, tango dollars, with cuts made by the Department of Government Efficiency. In March, he walked that back, saying his target was $1 trillion, unless we're stopped. At a cabinet meeting Thursday, however, Musk told Trump and other cabinet officials that Doge expected to cut $150 billion from the federal budget over the 2026 fiscal year. Oh, PT, there's a sucker born every minute, Barnum Musk, right? Musk, of course, has a history of making big promises when it comes to his businesses. In 2019, he said, quote, I feel very confident predicting autonomous robo-taxis for Teslas next year. Those have yet to hit the road streets. And in 2013, he talked about a Hyperloop, a transportation system that transports passengers at over 700 miles an hour. It remains vaporware. And it gets better looking at this. Spend $135 billion to save the $150 billion. Department of Government Efficiency perhaps didn't count the costs of firings, litigations, just as I predicted. Again, we want smaller government, but there's a way to have to do it when there's contracts and agreements and all these things built up. There's a machine running. It's got a momentum. It has to be slowed down correctly, and then until you get it slowed down, nobody can disembark. And so they went ahead and they just started chucking stuff off and found out, wait, we need that. We can't do that. That's still hanging on. Elon Musk originally said the Department of Government Efficiency could save taxpayers $2 trillion. He later downgraded to $1 trillion and now to $150 billion. According to experts on federal workers who spoke to the New York Times, the cost of Doge's chaotic, error-laden cuts to the federal government could ultimately add up to $135 billion this fiscal year alone. Let's go back and look at that little phrase, chaotic, error-laden. Musk has to have used AI. Well, yeah, we know that from the last story. He admitted it. Error pronation. The future that they want for you is what's being put in today. The Partnership for Public Service, a nonprofit that studies the federal workforce, came up with the number by considering the cost of firings, rehirings, paid leave, and the lost productivity. You see that? No productivity while this is all going on as well. The lost productivity that can be attributed to the Doge cuts. And also, for the reason I said this would not be any good this way, not included in the estimate, the cost of Doge defending its decisions in court. Quote, they can do all the things they are currently doing, but they can't do them the way they are doing them. They can either start over and do it right, or they can be in court forever, says Jerry Buchholz, who spent more than 30 years in public service handling hiring and firing at 7 federal agencies. So much for government efficiency through a purported efficiency expert overseeing the Department of Government Efficiency. Just another technoswampocratic failure about to get way worse, the way I'm looking at how this is going out. And I'd have to ask, I'd say right Trump, but you really don't know, do you? This is predictably turning into quite the clown show, right, P.T. Barnum Musk? How's that everything app turning out for you, Elon? Can't even get a wrongly suspended account reinstated, even the ones that are paid. We're going through that some more now. And don't get me started on this authentication efficiency. Musk requires nearly 100 clicks to do what most every other website does in one click. Like it's some site, an IQ test, just to access your account feed. Yeah, because maybe it is. Right, Oracle Ellison for Stargate? Yeah, IQ test, health test, site test, yeah. Built right into your authentication for your ID. Centralized database that are being built right around us in this Siberian gulag. While much smaller government is needed, government efficiency appears to be oxymoron. It's heavy on the moron for our biggest and brightest, and despite that I really and truly wish they were. This is just another cautionary tale about the techno-swampy future that they have planned for you if you continue to let them. And since the biggest and brightest can't do it, and since the intelligence of a box of rocks is looking pretty good right now about that, Maybe each one of you has the intelligence to get you behind a woodshed to stop this nonsense before the best and brightest hurt more people. But be warned, that's only if in your figure a box of rocks has nothing on you. And remember, don't be Edna. Now, I've been warning about the consolidation and monopolization of the internet battlefield of things, data acquisition and intelligence through government warm and fuzzy safety and health concerns for a very long time. Most recently with the Trump's promotion of that Stargate. Right, Ellison? Oracle? The onshoring of what the WHO intended to track and trace and control everyone through by their invented health disasters. Now appearing kinder and gentler. Remember, we're from the government. We're here to help with the disaster we instigated. Advocates sound the alarm on RFK Jr.'s potential autism registry. NIH apparently planning to bring together private medical records of many Americans. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has pledged to uncover the cause of autism within months, and as part of that effort, CBS News reports the National Institutes of Health will be, quote, amassing the private medical records of Americans in order to study the condition. The outlet says a disease registry will be created to track people diagnosed with autism, an assertion that has raised all kinds of red flags. Snopes reports that many of the social media were issuing dire warnings. One sample post said that such as the register was a precursor to genocide. Oh, the great Kobe Swindle couldn't have been part of that, was it? No, the NIH director said the records that will be brought together with the purpose of a comprehensive study will include information from pharmacy chains, private insurer health claims, smart watches, and fitness trackers, and lab testing, and genomic data, right, nasal swabbies, from patients treated by the Department of Veterans Affairs and Indian Health Service. What we're proposing is a transformative real world, can I really repeat these sustainable words? Transformative real world data initiative, which aims to provide a robust and secure computational data platform for chronic disease and autism research, the director said at the recent NIH meeting, while also promising the data will be kept secure. Well, how many people have access to it as well? NIH already operate. Don't forget the military's back there looking. NIH already operates multiple registries tracking diagnoses, including different types of cancers, autoimmune disorders, cerebral palsy, and in recent comments, the director indicated a new national disease registry would be created for autism. Autism advocates and members of the autism community have called out Kennedy's past comments on the condition as harmful and ignorant. Now, there's thousands lining up to this. On one side, wow, we need something to do that. But you see how they do the warm and fuzzy, will embrace, oh, what's causing autism? They've been causing it. We don't want to look at it. Well, now we're going to promise that we're going to look at it. Who gets to look at it? All the third-party corporations. All the government agencies. In a unified, centralized database to track us. Conspiracy theories aside, what is one thing that we can derive from this warning, this apprehension of people that would directly benefit? And is the shame upon the government and its corporate pirateers, to have squandered its sacred duty and obligations of keeping trust and confidence, most recently with the great Kobe Swindle. Isn't that really what we're looking at? Being lost while people are now questioning, they're finally, and thankfully so maybe now, finally looking. Because this techno-swamp creature infliction as this data consolidation is fatal to any notion of being free. Isn't the thing we can derive from this warning is that no one trusts the government with this level of distrust? So one down and one to go. There is distrust and there's confidence. That is what the government must maintain in the population to be relevant. If trust is gone, what about confidence? If people are questioning what this is going on, when they question these officials, seriously, not now trusting what they're going to say. When both are gone, when is go time to correct the irreparable breach to each one of us? How long do we wait? And this is the part of the thing I thought about COVID swindle. I mentioned it on the broadcast numerous times. Maybe this will just get everybody's attention finally. U.S. Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Marty McCarry appeared to defend the website changing during the interview on Fox News on Friday afternoon, where we are now talking about the White House promoting and touting the COVID-19 lab leak theory on its new website. If you think this is all going to be straightened up and cleared, I think people want some closure. The entire nightmare of COVID for 3+ years was likely entirely avoidable had we not been messing with Mother Nature in a way that they should not have, McCarry said. Well, that's a mouthful of bad words and misdirection, isn't it? But do you want closure? Or do you want the truth? And with the last part of that paragraph, messing with Mother Nature, I can't trust and have no confidence he's going to give us the answer. Why? Because it was novel. It was invented. It was lab made. Made in a lab. Put together in a lab. Synthesized. There was no virus. It was a chemical compound construction. Remember the lipids and all? He's talking about messing with Mother Nature. They're not going to tell you they were messing with Mother Nature with that compound, that bioweapon. And that they want you to feel closure. I guess you could, if you want. But this is the thing that's going on, and I think trust and confidence is gone, and I'm just wondering when are the people going to finally be fed up and say, enough's enough, we're done. You've had your chances. There is no plan to trust but the one that's destroying us. That's going to stop. Okay, what are the actual terrorists using cognitive warfare techniques to capture and control your mind, and subsequently your behavior, the most important thing there, even your inaction, for as ridiculous as it sounds to the critical thinking among us, WHO, not the rock group, not the owl, not even the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization rehearses deadly mammoth pox outbreak. Trust and confidence, folks. You trust this? This is so stupid. This is what the White House is now protecting. These things. An exercise. Event 201, an exercise by the UN agency earlier this month simulated an outbreak of a fictional virus spreading across the world. An exercise, like mental gymnastics or something? The exercise reportedly simulated an outbreak of mammoth pox, a fictional virus similar to smallpox, a disease with a 30% mortality rate that was eradicated in 1980, and Mpox, a dangerous variant of which is currently surging across Central Africa. Where is Godzilla when you need him to torch this fever-induced mammoth fantasy of the Tito's terrorist? He needs to be removed and sent to a small outcropping in the South China Sea. The WHO needs to be disbanded for being the vehicle of terrorism, fraud, waste, and abuse. And I was going to read more, but why promote these moronic, exploitive attempts to be relevant? But let's cover three things in case there's a lingering concern. Let us say Spanish flu. And look past that it didn't start in Spain. All the other lies we've been told about this disease, just like in the current great COVID swindle, which are about now the only listeners alive or able to care are those unjabbed, I suspect, as well. First, we've been told we lived with the woolly mammoth. In other words, we have lived during the time of any of those viruses, so-called, and Tedros the terrorist has not proven any zoonotic transfer between a mammoth to man. I understand they said it's fictional. So is all this other stuff. So let's run with this just a little bit. The closest we get today is hearing from time to time about Mothman. Right, Godzilla? Your immune system, in large part, thinks those ancients are old news. Our immune system is the thing these terrorist quacks like terrorist Tedros don't want you to know about. Or to know much about in your immune system. To keep your immune system in tip-top shape. Or how so they can peddle their pharma buddies, pharmaceuticals for prolonged death management. From cradle to grave, it seems. You know, it's reported Tedros was a member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, a government-designated terrorist group in Ethiopia, alleged to have aided mass murder or genocide. But they're going to go after the beekeeper over there in Long Island, I guess. And it appears that he was tapped by the WHO to terrorize people globally. In light of the political nature of the allegations against him, we need to turn to his deeds. And there's a big argument about this, so I'm going to just turn to his deeds. And indeed, he instigated and helped in the greatest mass murder in recent memory upon a fictional foe, one never non-fraudulently identified anyway. Remember? We went through this over and over. This might be the greatest global mass murder ever. And it's what he does. He relies on science fiction horror because people love to be entertained and afeared. How is it we seem to always get such a sweet type of people to run the show? What is that? And then second, the 3 points, we know now about nutrition. And we know about ivermectin and a host of other drugs that counter these things and if our immune systems are weakened and need help. So that is not even being brought up. And the third, relative to the Spanish flu particularly, the U.S. and the U.K. governments have to keep their troops at home this next time and not send them to the ports all around the world to blanket foreign populations like the U.S. did to the native populations with smallpox-contaminated blankets. It appears that the U.S. and U.K. governments are the contagion during the Spanish flu, as we looked around, and their troop movements, their ports of call, and where the disease, so-called, popped up. Just as the COVID jabbers, jabs, were the bioweapon contagion causing mass death and maiming during the great COVID swindle, or as might happen in the next mammoth outbreak, because people do not, or not enough, get behind a woodshed to stop all these miscreants in their tracks. It was that simple. Local communicable disease law. And nobody, those of you that did, you know what I'm talking about. I'm saying globally. Generally. Nobody resorted to the law. And then we condemn it. It's one thing to assert the law and not get it. It's a totally another thing just to walk away from it when it could protect your life. But we're watching some horrendous things coming down now. It's amazing. As we find somebody now moving a little bit more tough against it, despite the WHO's expertism, Slovakian president has literally once again put his life on the line, this time by standing up on the side of truth, transparency, and decency to demand a thorough investigation into the frightening levels of DNA contamination being discovered in all those global mRNA injections for the COVID-19, but in particular in Slovakia's own Pfizer and Moderna vials. I pray for his safety and that his family. Godspeed, Mr. Fitzio. The world is watching. So there's now an official suggestion, and I think they adopted it, to look at this DNA contamination, which should have never been. If this wasn't a bioweapon as well. And remember, Sasha Latapova's work to show this was not ever a vaccine. It wasn't ever a product. It was not designed to be. It didn't need quality control. But trust and confidence. Who caused this? Pfizer COVID vaccine is life-threatening. In the study of the drug, there were about 23% more deaths in the vaccine group than in the placebo group. This was stated by U.S. Secretary of Health Robert Kennedy Jr. Quote, we have observed a huge association of myocarditis and pericarditis with strokes and other injuries with neurological damage. And it was obvious, even in the clinical data that was obtained by Pfizer, there were more deaths. Can I just interject? Yeah, back when did you hear that behind the woodshed? Right, immediately those tests came out. Where has everybody been? There were about 23% more deaths in the vaccine group than the placebo group, Kennedy said. Let me add, remember, the placebo they said in that group was saline. These bioweapons were claimed to be safer than saline. Remember that. Trust and confidence. Safe and effective. Just one question, and who will answer it for these deaths? Are these all the lockdowns and masks and whipping up of hysteria? Yeah, we allowed that, folks. These people took advantage of us. Our apathy, our ignorance, they know us better than we know ourselves. Some of us now, most of us, 23% more deaths than placebo. Certainly they're different than the safer than saline. I could not believe when I was reading it. That's what the pharma corporations declared early on. That's what the FDA and the CDC agreed with. Myocarditis and pericarditis with strokes. As you promoted, right? Ghost of Pope Francis? And a different type of attack on the brain is surfacing. Rare 100% fatal brain disease strikes in three in same county. Officials say two have died from Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in Hood River County, Oregon. Three people in a county in Oregon are believed... Where's Tedros here? There's a pandemic. I shouldn't make fun of this. This is serious stuff. But here we have three people in one spot die. Pretty serious right off the bat. Three people are in the county of Oregon are believed to have acquired Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, a rare brain disease with 100% fatality, two of whom have since died. Symptoms are similar to those of Alzheimer's disease, but CJD progresses faster, with death usually occurring within a year. Sounds suspiciously like the cognitive dysfunction associated with a bioweapon jab, which is found to progress faster too, don't it? The disease can only be confirmed after death by examining brain tissue and the fluid surrounding the brain and spinal cord, a process that can take months per the Oregonian. How many of those autopsies you think are being done after the Kobe swindle? Why are these doctors and staff in hospitals all coming up with the same type of brain cancer all at the same time? And the only commonality they can find is other than where they work, they got the jab. Health officials in Oregon Hood River County said one case was confirmed by autopsy, while two others are presumptive. So, serious issue there. The CJD impacts just 1 to 2 people per million each year, so it's statistically unusual to see three cases in a county of 24,000. They add CJD can only be spread from person to person through organ or tissue transplants, or unusual exposures to contaminated tissue. There are several types of CJD, which is caused by prions, or abnormally folded proteins that damage brain tissue. Are you aware some of the side effects of this mRNA is they get misfolded proteins? They don't make quite right. About 85% of the cases are sporadic, with normal proteins spontaneously morphing into prions for unknown reasons. In most cases, other cases, CJD is traced to inherited mutations of the PRNP gene, which provides instructions for making prion protein. Mutations from instructions. Sound familiar? mRNA gone bad, maybe? Less than 1% of the cases are acquired with prions entering the body from external sources, such as in eating beef from cows infected with mad cow disease. Officials in Hood River said infected cattle are unlikely to be the cause, per the Oregonian. The department is investigating alongside the Oregon Health Authority and CDC. And I read a lot of stuff during that Covey swindle relative to the Oregon Health Authority and its statements coming through relative to the Covey swindle. And I told you a lot of the stuff they were given was pretty good, pretty accurate, if people would just follow it. But you think they're going to look a little bit deeper to the cause of the folded prions, the mis-messaging? Quote, at this time, there is no identifiable link between these three cases. Did they ask? Nothing identifiable? Nobody asked whether they were all jabbed or from which test batch? Remember, that was a thing. Do you see, as I've offered years ago, how insidious the undetectability this lipid protein poisoning is that no local communicable disease health official protected anyone against? This is BTW RLM 625. But you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. No, you can't. Switching gears a little bit, actually quite a bit. Erdogan, the Turkey country. Israeli entities' massacres in Gaza expose hypocrisy of Western values. Well, after I've been going through these tabs, what are our Western values anyway? Actually, I don't really know. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said that the massacres committed by Israel in Gaza have exposed the hypocrisy of Western values. But what did we say about Western values? A black man gets picked up in Long Island, a beekeeper, for genocide. Well, the Congress critters, they applaud standing ovation 5,000 times, whatever it was, 51. Someone is known to be committing genocide. What are the Western values? But anyway, Erdogan says this about that. More hypocrisy. Exposed what hypocrisy in the West? Well, he's talking, and remember, his relationship is, that's what's going to go back to here real quick. Speaking at the General Assembly of the Foundation for Women and Democracy in Istanbul, Erdogan stated, the ongoing massacres in Gaza for the past 18 months, along with recent global events, have exposed the emptiness of what is called Western values. With every innocent child, woman, and infant brutally murdered, what's left of the West moral superiority, which was already greatly weakened, and fades away, he said. Now, last I heard you, Erdogan and Turkey, you're part of the West. You're part of NATO. You're part of the offensive West, and doing nothing. Says, what about you? And what about the grand design? And is it so difficult to decode? Canada's desire to join the EU, revenge on Trump's or neocon grand design. You think I'm jumping too far, going from Turkey to Canada, Kanukistan? You think that? Look underneath. What's going on? What's the plan, Stan? We trust? We have confidence? There's a little confusion built into the language for this purpose, why I think some people describe the English language as rich, likely for the rich deceivers. Let's look at what the title here relative to a grand design. There's a little contrivance in legal matters where the term or may or may not be conjunctive. It can mean and. So we go back to the title and not knowing the grand plan or the players in their role in any kabuki theater. Let us chew on the word salad use of the term or to mean and. To read Trump or neocon, meaning that one is the other, one is the same. Trump or neocon means Trump and neocon, likely then heavy on the con, to mean that Trump is a neocon. Furthermore, there are the same, they're playing the role, Trump and neocon. Trump or neocon can be removed from the title. Rereading the title with the corrections, we'll see that we can read it, Canada's desire to join the EU, revenge on grand design. That makes it simpler, doesn't it? This is it's a nothing really article that is exposing something, but sheds a light on the ongoing global consolidation. Global now. This is why we jump over there to come back to do this. And Trump's involved, as I've been showing you, and now we hear they're turning the guns inside the gate to focus on us, as we've been watching since the Patriot Act. Now, if we answer the question in the title it would have to be a no. Again, Canada's desire to join the EU, revenge or grand design. Well, Trump is part of the grand design, and he won't be changing it. So his deeds have in no way changed or affected it, but they're helping it along and more efficiently, right, P.T. Barnabas? So the grand design, well, one of them, because Trump made a play for the regional one, moving for Greenland and Kazakhstan, also to stir the pot towards better global uniformity, is that there are no nation states but subversions of government like the European Union that are actually ultimately in play. They got to get rid of your so-called sovereign base. Canadians want to join the EU while PM Mark Carner says the old relationship with the U.S. is over. So we're watching transformations going on. We're watching, again, telegraphing ideas that people can start to accept. Question, why is Canada parting ways with the U.S.? Canada's alleged desire to join the EU stems from a fear of strategic loneliness following the U.S. becoming Ottawa's single greatest threat, Sean Narine, a professor at Canada's St. Thomas University, tells Sputnik. So the expert makes only an allegation of need based on a fear. It is an assumption and an isolation when one of the goals of the grand design is efficient one-world economic financial conformity. And this bit of information made this discussion more interesting, tying the past to the modernized future, the kind of England that England's promoting, partly evidenced in his Easter message that talked about Islam, to the exclusion of the rising of Jesus Christ, the ostensible reason for celebrating Easter, while allowing Britain to be overrun by migrants. When we witnessed what King Charles said. The interview asks, why Europe? Dr. Narine answers, a natural choice. Quote, Canada began life as a European settler state. The majority of Canadians are still of European background. The Canadian elites are very much oriented towards Europe. So tucked away right there, the majority of Canadians are still of European background. So you can't defeat a nation with a national identity. The national identity needs to be diluted for the grand design to work. So tugging on your ancestral heartstrings with Canada began life as a European settler state. Because being under a monarch was the reason you escaped to one day return, right? But this has nothing to do with having a European background. The huddled masses in the United States during World War II didn't care about their European roots more than they could defend and bring back to Europe what they thought was the home of the free and brave with a side of apple pie. Football, not so much. We in America could live by our European culture even in neighborhood enclaves, but not embrace that European rule culture enough to defeat the principles and reasons we escaped from Europe or anywhere else, even as slaves, white or black, so-called. Remember, those are legal terms as well. With the promise of the fulfillment of our dreams, which is what they spoke to, which some, enough, apparently, attained for a time. And the European background was irrelevant to that national identity. Anyone who thought it did, but it didn't, just moved back. But I've never heard of anyone doing so. There might be those people, but I've never heard that the people actually found it better. In fact, everyone running from Trump, going to other countries, are saying, I'm not going to come back. Why is that? For as bad as we think it is here, why is that? Because it is bad. I'm not saying it's good. We're not going in the right direction. But we do have something, and I keep talking about it periodically. So this national sentiment of people everywhere needs to be broken where it breeds a national independent spirit, which is what this article, this professor starts to promote. Remember, the university system, ambassadors of globalism. And that's what this professor points out as the sole reason for the grand design, so-called, has yet to be fulfilled and needed to be breeded out of the people. The majority of Canadians are still European background. Canadian identity has nothing to do with those ruling European roots, rather likely is a repulsion to it. European roots are mentioned only to find some heart-tugging, warm and fuzzy connection to get people to drop their guard in becoming nostalgic in order to get them to agree, to buy in, as you've heard me mention. Remember, Klaus Schwab goes away, it still goes. The university system professor tugs harder, though, in the article. Why does Canada want in? Ideological proximity with the EU. Certainly not territorial, right? But no, ideological proximity with the EU. Canada wants to break away from the American framework, and Canadian public opinion definitely leans toward aligning more with the European agenda. We see what they did there. The repulsion of the United States and Trump leaning on Canada. No, they're going to take that the outcry against it and say, oh, no, you agree with the European agenda. That's why you don't agree with Trump. Again, a promotion. So is that true? Do you actually believe it? Do Kanukistanians want in, or do the elite change agents? So, better tug harder, he does. Historic roots. Canada's ties to Europe go way back to its colonial past and its history with the UK Commonwealth. Boy, have we heard that just recently in the news again. UK Commonwealth. Associate membership. Quote, Canada's potential entry into the EU is still a reflection of British power, especially that of the Crown and the Grand Orient Lodges. Or maybe Canada isn't so independent anyway from its colonial past or the UK Commonwealth, of which this professor sells us, is so yearning by the Kanukistanians, which I suspect is furthest from their actual interest. So we just need the current inhabitants to capitulate without a fight as we go back to our future. The Euro Union, the King of England, has to destroy even those roots of commonality. And the King is allowing that to begin to be done in the UK, as is evidenced in Europe proper and on the other end of the channel. The national identity commonality is being destroyed and replaced by conflicting identity through a wanton immigration, reducing and overcoming the majority inhabitants, their resistance. So you see a method globally going on, right? Because, as we read again, promote, pump, 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 the Canadian elites are very much oriented toward Europe. The elites, not the people. And Euro-unionization has to do with diluting national identity of Canada so it more uniformly mixes with what? And agrees with what and whom? We read, time to diversify. Stop me when you stop sounding like sustainability, sustainable development goals, DEI. Climate change, it's tough. Pope Francis went away. You think it went away? Klaus Schwab's going away? No, no, no. They're just getting all those faces off the stage. Time to diversify. Still, Canada is seeking greater independence from the U.S. in economic, political, and security matters. But diversify means destructive inclusion, doesn't it? And none of those subject matter areas are on the table if Kanukistan is sovereign. But in mentioning them, the university professor puts them into question. But to whose outcome as an answer? Europe? The WEF? And then this little tidbit. Can Canada join the bloc? Yes, it can. Canada can apply to join the EU, as a founding treaty allows countries inspired by Europe, and there are no geographic restrictions on membership. No geographic restrictions. No territory by membership. The global financial unity derived from allowing dilution through diversifying national sovereignty from within. That's not fear of isolation. And none call it treason either. Well, none other than anyone behind the woodshed. That's what we do. Even if the country you thought you lived in no longer exists, if it ever did, all people everywhere have a right to alter or abolish corrupted, oppressive, and usurpacious government. In this case, we're working through governance. That's why it's unionization, membership. And when the problem for the day is that the majority of Canadians are still of European background, and when the European identity, through though irrelevant, is promoted as important to Kanuckistinians, yet is being destroyed by wanton, unregulated immigration, also done through and pursuant to sustainable global insurrection migration goals by internal change agents to erase any national identity for a better global inclusion, inclusivity is the model. You know two things. You still have a chance to stop the destruction of your nation, and that the players on the stage mean your national demise in favor of a grand design, whether or not you have identified it. And if, though it may confuse some, don't be. You might think, but Trump is doing the opposite. But Trump is a neocon player. He's playing his part to bring on the grand design no one or very few see, remember? And when crossing the border into America, so-called, the carnival mirror or the international relations, the mirror image reverses, remember, reimagining, changes and reverses what you see, what Trump would do, and what he's doing to advance the same global grand design. I've been touching on those things in the past recent episodes. It's part of my criticism of P.T. Barnum Muskrat. And I think of this, these billionaire boys don't need to know anything about what they are mindlessly making more efficient. Yet efficiency now plays into the grand design I've mentioned today as we listen to what starts pulling together. It's quite amazing, isn't it? They can be clueless and still advance the grand design, the real plan. Not the one they want you to trust, but the reverse effect. The U.S. is the top feeder economy that needs to be brought down into parity, not across or to balance a global economic parity as Kanuckistan would, whether in a regionalized or unionized global grand design and sustainable order, the lack of promotion of which by Klaus Schwab is irrelevant to, right, Fink, or the fallible one, notwithstanding the right Vice President J.D., I'm here because of Palantir Vance. So no, there are so many fallen soldiers or liquidated sympathizing collaborators that came to the end of their usefulness in a societal, political, governmental overthrow here. You can watch how that is now being turned over in moving in. And Pope Francis, again, recently died from a stroke and heart attack, both highly consistent with jab harm that he fully advocated for. One thing, to his credit, he reportedly called the Palestinians, as I read the opening story, since October the 7th, a resistance effort to show support and promote peace, we're told. And I would think most certainly to your unreported disdain, right, Saint Nehu? The players are moved in and moved out. Little glimpses that they could have been good people. But we don't see that as a finish. And they never stand up strong enough in order to make it work. They cause chaos, and they cause trouble, as we've heard. Doge is costing almost as much as they claim they're saving, which is far less than he had claimed he was going to do, and Musk said he would do, and it's costing more or equal, just to work out through the chaos. And in the meantime, more chaos. And in the meantime, more harm and more planning. In the chaos comes order, right? If you're not the one going to that plan, that grand design, who is? The Supreme Court late-night rebuke to Trump is extraordinary in more ways than one. Again, ongoing theme. I told you, you can make great America great again, or you can do it the way Trump's doing it. And we heard people doing the math, the accounting, says, well, you can end it here, start over again, or continue spending money going to courts forever while people are being violated and trying to protect themselves. And empowering a system that's corrupt on top of it, the judicial department, the judicial branch, allowing more and more and more of this lawfare nonsense. That people see, oh, now we're seeing arrests of some judges. Oh, it's working. No, it's not working. Not working in the least. The Supreme Court late night rebuke to Trump, as I said, was coming across the board. Again, not everything. But when you start depriving people of due processes, I've identified for you, if you haven't done it yourself, seemingly one of the only for sure can't get rid of things that we have left, as long as there's property in our lives. He's violating a lot of that. And it's not even because I believe that the, let's say, these illegal immigrants that are not supposed to be here need to be here. It's that we have laws. And if we're going to agree that they are so that we can benefit from them, everybody that has a right should be accessing them, and there shouldn't be any truncation of it. And the Supreme Court in this case has come back. And I have to say, this last couple of years have been really nice to hear, even though they're 50, 60, 70, I don't know, more years late, decisions that needed to be made that long ago, being corrected, and seemingly correctly so when you look at the Constitution and how it's supposed to work. We don't use these people for our brains. We apply. They're making some better decisions on what's going on. All these cases are about, mostly are about due process right now, about these situations that Trump is being beat on because he doesn't care about that. And then it's starting to throw some more chaos in. And this is a pretty interesting story here. I don't know what caused this quick move, but I can see equity working immediately, if not sooner. And they didn't wait around for an opinion on this case where they rebuked Trump, the whole Supreme Court. The court didn't even wait to let Alito write his dissent. Shortly after 1 a.m. on Saturday, the Supreme Court issued an emergency order halting the Trump administration's efforts to reported efforts to fly Venezuelan migrants to an El Salvador prison before they could change their deportation. The court's late-night intervention is an extraordinary and highly unusual rebuke to the government, one that may well mask a turning point in the majority's approach to this administration. For months, the SCOTUS Supreme Court of the United States has given the government every benefit of the doubt, accepting the Justice Department's dubious assertions of awarding Donald Trump immense deference. Now, we heard of it. That word is interesting because there's been two court cases that the Supreme Court said the agencies don't have that kind of deference, not that kind. Anyway, moving on here to this update. On Saturday, however, the majority of justices signaled that they no longer trust the administration to comply with the law, including the court's own rulings. What did I say? The court's rulings are law at this level. What have I been saying about the great Comey swindle? When the official didn't follow the law, you can't have trust in them. And if they continue to do it, you can lack confidence in that they're going to do it. And we're hearing that right here. Trust and confidence. It is indeed the case that we are likely careening toward a head-on conflict between the president and the court with the foundational principles of constitutional democracy hanging in the balance. Democracy? What does that have to do with democracy? What about the Republican form? Will we ever get that anymore? No. That tells you what we're in. That's why this is turning out this way. That's why America cannot be great again until that gets fixed too. SCOTUS emergency order in AARP versus Trump arose out of the government's unlawful efforts to ship Venezuelan migrants to Salvadoran prison by invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. On Thursday, the lawyers for the individuals told the federal court that the government was preparing to summarily deport them to El Salvador, where they would be indefinitely confined at a notorious detention center. There's your indefinite detention, no due process, no chance to get out. And a president that seems to take a lot of pleasure in causing what he thinks to be gang members with no rights pain. And at some point, you kind of feel that way. But in this case, there's really questions. There really are questions about this. And like I said, if a potential deportee, doesn't have the right answer, they should be deported. Whether they should be put into one of these camps, I don't know. They're supposed to go back to their country of origin. And you hear that's a problem here, too. A federal judge in the Southern District of Texas has already blocked their removal, but the government sought to evade this order by busing the migrants into the Northern District of Texas, where the restraining order would not apply. It then gave the migrants notices in English only, declaring that they would be deported immediately without stating that they could contest their deportations in court. Parenthetically, officials refused to give these notices or any other information to the migrants' lawyers. The government intended to fly them out of the country within 24 hours, according to the court filings. This conduct flagrantly violated the Supreme Court's decision from just 12 days ago, affording the migrants substantial due process protections. Hear that, folks? Protection. whatever my feeling is about these people being illegal and all that, it's irrelevant at the point that there's a protection in the law that they are entitled to. And well, I don't think it should be diminished one little bit, because if they diminish theirs, they're diminishing mine and yours. The court unanimously agreed that these individuals, quote, must receive notice that they are subject to removal, and that this notice, quote, must be afforded within a reasonable time and in such a manner as will allow them to actually seek relief, obviously giving Spanish-speaking speakers a bare-bones notice in English that they will be deported does not comply with this mandate. And so we have another court case, another same words. The due process is notice, opportunity, and time and place, and the notice has to be understandable, and you have to have the opportunity to respond. You have to be able to be given your rights. It can't be subverted. But when the migrants' attorneys sought court intervention, the Justice Department responded, as it so often does these days, by lying. Despite extensive evidence to the contrary, DOJ lawyers told multiple courts that they did not intend to deport migrants on Friday or Saturday, and that they would not deport anyone without affording them the due process guaranteed by SCOTUS, the Supreme Court. But why would they lie? Why would Trump's administration lie about that? Is our problem. It is the very reason why you have a constitution that people take oath to that puts them at least consciously on some owing that they need to follow that law. That they know that you are entitled to these things. Well, except the homegrown now, right? You see where this goes quick? Oh, we're going to call those homegrown, oh, the murderers that kill babies and that kill pregnant women. Okay. We're already down to vandalism in Michigan. So don't tell me about the murderers and the pregnant women that are getting beat up and killed by the gang members. No, we're down to vandalism already. Wasn't even a week. But what I see in response, a lot of misguided people are implying through this that the court has stopped deportations. The court has not stopped deportations. It said the executive must provide a due process before it can deport. It isn't an excuse that Biden let them in wrongly. They're now here. The benefit the law bestows upon anyone that reaches our soil. We hear it all the time. Why they people coming from boats want to touch the sand. Their status for rights changes when they get that done. It's just the way it works. They have certain rights to assert at that point. I don't think, though, it's certainly... it'll take a while, as I've also heard complained. It takes years and years and years. But there are only so many defenses against deportation anyway. A summary process could be instituted to work quickly through those that have a defense and those that do not, placing the burden on the potential deportee. In other words, they have to have their papers together. They have to get their act together quick. Anyone experiencing, because here's why that it seems to me, when you start seeing why this has to happen, we're already experiencing these violations in summary processes as well. They really have to be paid attention to. But they can be done. Anyone experiencing the indignity of the statutory landlord-tenant hearing and already enjoys these summary dispositions, even those that are not supposed to suffer the summary process in hearing. And that's what I recently experienced unjustly, but eventually avoided. But it wasn't easy. Again, being involved in something I should not have been involved with took a lot of extra work, and the threat was that it wasn't going to work when you look at what the judges are doing. They're not, again, the legislation from the bench. So these summary hearings, even the ones that shouldn't be applied, aren't unknown in this country, even for those that are not subject to it. That it's going to take a long time or whatever time, is the harm to our country, it seems to me. That should just give us the value of why there should be treason charges leveled against anyone allowing such an invasion. Now, no red-blooded American, so-called, would agree if they were denied due process, it seems. And that is what the government began to work on since the excuse they provided themselves, since the self-inflicted 9/11 domestic terror attack. Likely the greatest ally of the United States that done it. Right? The one that gets preferential treatment for genocide, right? Anyway, so this due process encroachment or infringement isn't a small problem, but I've been talking and bringing it forward. It also isn't a bipartisan problem, as I'm hearing it made up to me. Oh, Democrats this, Democrats that, Republicans, no. It's none of that. That's what they want you to focus on. And they're getting lots of people to do it. Really shocking, actually, somehow. Shameful, in a way, about we don't talk about Americans, make America great. We don't even know what that is, I don't think. So everybody becomes adversely affected on this and why I keep reporting on it. We can see an example of what that causes in the failure when we didn't insist on the lawful due process during the great COVID swindle. You see how fast society went into tyranny? Due process may be the last actual right we possess of any consequence to have stopped that at all. And I think the great COVID swindle proved it, as I mentioned to you, as it was ongoing. And I gave you the tools to show these are in the Constitution. These are the things that we can use. And I'll name it the habeas corpus remedy. It's the same remedy these people are given, or the process statutorily codified for immigration deportation hearings. But there's nothing that says they couldn't make a summary hearing about the process and cut through a lot of this. And it's just going to be the harm that we as a society are suffering because another regime, another administration administered the agenda. Well, everybody thinks it's being stopped. No, they get you focused on one direction and behind your back, they're moving the rest of it in. Then they move you to this other thing and you look at that and they move the rest of it back in through a different way. It's just getting your attention. They just keep your perception where they need it. As, again, I told you, more judges will be coming, and they're not just Democratic judges. They're not just the woke, the DEI judges you want to believe. No, these are the Republican judges. And that, I told you, is a problem. We shouldn't have Democratic. They try to say they're independent, but they're not, apparently. Again, these things you learn as you go. Judge rules against Trump administration on Voice of America. Orders the state-sponsored outlet be restored, at least for now. And we're back to how much money are they saving being efficient now? Because they didn't do it right. Just it could be easily seen that it was being done wrong. This is not just something, this government that's running is not just something you just start whacking stuff out. It'd be nice, but no, it doesn't work that way. The coalition suing the Trump administration for its shutdown of Voice of America scored a win in court Tuesday. A federal judge found that the dismantling of the state media outlet, which for decades disseminated news about the United States to other countries, was likely against the law. The judge ordered VOA's parent agency, the U.S. Agency of Global Media, and an independent federal agency, to restore the government-funded news agency and some of its sister outlets. The Reagan-appointed judge also ordered a USAGM to rehire the staff of VOA, Radio Free Asia, the Middle East Broadcasting Network. He wrote that the administration, quote, took immediate and drastic action to slash USAG without considering its statutorily and constitutionally required functions as required by the plain language of the EO, and without regard to the harm inflicted on employees, contractors, journalists, and media consumers around the world. Which is what I said a couple of episodes ago. In my criticism of, if you want to make America great again, you don't do it this way, and when he's not doing it the right way, he's not intending to make America great again. It's hard to fathom a more straightforward display of arbitrary and capricious actions than the defendant's actions here. He ordered the staffers to be rehired so they can provide news which is consistently reliable and authoritative, accurate, objective, and comprehensive. The preliminary injunction will be in effect as the case continues to make its way through the court system. So efficient, folks. But look and you see the presumption there that these organizations are doing presumptively correct work. They're authoritative, they're presumed accurate, they're presumed objective, and presumed comprehensive, and the Trump administration brought nothing to counter any of that presumption. No rebuttal whatsoever. And status quo says they stay. Let's go back to equity rules. This is not even hard to go through. So how can disrespecting statutory and constitutionally required functions make America great again? What a mess. this Messiah. Messianic. And we got another thing coming through, very important information that was kind of intriguing to me. It's been a long study. It kind of started with it, but James Jensen brought in an ex-Twitter in response to something else. So I saw his response before I even knew what we were dealing with here. It turns out to be very interesting for those of you that have been interested in this or want to be interested in it. It's part of what I've been talking about today with the IRS being integrally now involved in the mega API. Tracking and tracing, right down to your last moment, apparently. James Jensen says in an ex-Twitter post, "Yes, I bought cracking the code in 2005, so this SCOTUS case confirms what I've learned." And I want to say, those of you who get into this, you've got to get into a mindset for reading this tax law. And it's what got me started a bit, because I started watching people going down for their earnestly held beliefs about the tax code, how it was being misinterpreted, how they were told they were misinterpreting it. And a lot of people got harmed very badly around this. Whether or not it was this issue, I can't say and I can't remember. But this is what got me going to start watching. That's what got me started. Where did America win? You read certain things. You read the law. You read court cases. And then you look at what the eight federal agencies do. Like Trump, even now. Can't even follow his own EO, his own executive order. Is the problem. And this lined me in decade and a half before I got to mining law. So I was able to have the certain eyes to see that you can have so-called authority, this law, and no government official will follow it. But what did I directly attack in the Great Comey Swindle? Was right to that, because that's where they're going to go. They're going to go away from that, right? And James put this in my feet and wanted me to see it. And there's a significant statement from the Lost Horizons website about it. Started from, in this thread, Pete Hendrickson, about income taxes, those civil rights you can read about, such as the pains and punishments as well, in law that are 42 U.S.C. 1981. They make sure they put that on you, though, don't they? But I don't think I knew about, and though I have a lingering sense I may have mentioned it throughout, though not with the importance it appears to have. But I think there was a little news blurb that went through, but I can't remember. It doesn't matter. We got it now, the importance of this. And last June, the SCOTUS held unanimously that the IRS and lower courts across the land have been lying about the legal nature of the income tax for decades, as written by the Lost Horizons website. The author, I believe, will crack the code. They show see the details. You get the link. I'll have a link for you. You can go read it yourself. I know it's maybe a dry subject. You may not be interested. This is serious stuff about how I identify how agencies of the government will lie, write directly, misinterpret the law, and violate people left and right, and get away with it. And why it takes all these years to get straightened up. Why it takes more people doing this if we're going to stop it. Trump ain't going to do it. You already hear there's not, well, did they get rid of income tax? Did they get rid of the IRS? No, none of that's going to go away because that's a civil right, right? Remember? So this article goes on, the part of it goes on, and the expose says, and yet there has been no press coverage on this explosive news. What the Hades, it says. We go right to that Lost Horizons website. And again, tip of the iceberg for us here. You're going to have to go read through it. And I can just tell you, you have to put on a certain mindset in your head to be able to follow this subject matter. They've made it very convoluted, but it's not. What convoluted it was the lies of the government, and that's what got people off track. And people like myself were not buying into it, but we started to find these tracks. No, I didn't never write a book about it, but it gave me the insight I have in order to look at the rest of the government, how it functions. It's systemic what this thing does. And then we found even worse when we went in deeper. So before I get to the article, I'm going to read the paragraph before that, which is highly consistent with my position relative to this broadcast as well, which people that do this research, we just come to these ideas, these still inspire us, these phrases that give us a touchstone to move forward. This one by Samuel Adams, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Hey people, please don't just read what I posted here or anywhere else, and nod your head sagely or approvingly, and then move on to other things. I don't post in order to affirm your sense of things. That hit me. That's exactly my point. I'll tell you where this stuff is. I'll show you where you can read it. I'll give you an interpretation of how you read it. And I need you to go do and do your own sense, your own work, get your sense of it. You may see the stuff that I don't see, but it's mostly not what we were told. And that needs to be corrected in your mind. In a way, like Clint Richards, I talked about last episode, showing him how to interpret your civil rights as being actually taxes and punishment, and then going over to the Title 50 to show him the exceptions. Oh, you can't use a bioweapon except. You can't do radiological weaponry except. And he saw that, and that opened him completely up to reinterpreting what he's reading, and you saw the great work he turned into being able to produce. So this is a mindset you have to flip. Once you start to read more clearly, you start to see what's going on, and then you start to see better how the corruption's being done against us. So don't take my word for it, and I'm not speaking to your sense of things like I see some people commenting, oh, it's supposed to be this and this. No, you go do the research, and then you tell me. Don't tell me I'm wrong. You go tell me what you found, not by your interpretation, by what it says. So this is an important statement that's being made right here. We all seem to feel the same way as we're going through this, trying to show people and explain to people what's going on to get them better on the track of what's happening. And please do those things, especially in recognition of the fact that most of my posts are heavily suppressed. They will not get out if you don't get them out. And remember, we won't win by only you knowing what I present. We will win by lots of others knowing what I present. And that's, again, trying to get the word out. Again, donate to the network. Sounds still trying to find. We got over 100 now accounts being bashed. I think those are the Rumble accounts got taken. We got another 8 taken down on two new platforms. So this word just gets smashed. I don't know what it is. I covered myself up pretty good with it. But now, recently, since the great Comey swindle, they're just smashing everything. They're smashing everything back. YouTube smashing everything back. I did back to 2017, I heard. So we got to get the word out. You have to help us get this word out. If I have any value for myself in this to tell you, to look at this guy's work, please help yourself. This is going to be us, a bunch of us doing this, understanding what's going on. And at some point, you don't have to talk about it anymore. Well, I'm talking a lot because not many people reflect this. But here we are. Well, so this is from the guy that literally wrote the book. This is a further explanation of the case of Moore versus United States in 2024. 4 months ago, the United States Supreme Court issued the most significant statement about the income tax that has made in 108 years. This statement revealed and slapped down the false declarations about the nature of the income tax made for decades now by lower courts, governments, lawyers, and IRS. Those false declarations assert that the tax is a capitation, a type of direct tax, which has been relieved of the appointment requirement imposed by the taxes under Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, and Section 9, and Clause 4. This false doctrine about tax, which has been the basis of countless misapplications of both the tax directly and the penalties associated with the income tax, was supported by, indeed, rested entirely on a contrived misreading of the landmark unanimous ruling on the meaning of the effect of the 16th Amendment by the Supreme Court in Bush Harbor versus Union Pacific Railroad in 1916. That contrived misreading holds that the ruling says exactly the opposite of what it actually does. And I saw it a long time ago. I saw that and I said, well, that's where our problem is. We got governments that aren't corrected in their misinterpretation, and they're killing us by this. He says, let me say this again. For the last 80 years or so, the federal and state tax agencies, tax courts, district courts, and appellate courts have systematically misapplied and misenforced the income tax based on a completely false reading of tax law, which the U.S. Supreme Court just corrected in 2024, unanimously and unambiguously this past June, in 2024, ruling on Moore versus United States. Champagne corks should have popped all across the nation. Now, dropping further down, because there's a lot in this article to acquire and apprehend, because it does take you concentration, I'll read. For 8 decades, government attorneys and lower court judges have been lying about the unanimous Bush Harbor ruling from 1916 that establishes it as true about the meaning of the effect of the 16th Amendment. And in the league about the legal nature of the income tax. Those servants of the revenue-hungry state have falsely claimed the Bushhopper rules the tax to be a non-apportioned direct tax. This false claim has enabled tax agencies to apply the tax as a capitation generally through the exploitation of victims ignorant of the truth. It has also been used by the courts to disregard all the provisions in law which inconveniently contradict with such applications of the tax and which reflect the legislature's accurate understanding of the tax, such as those requiring government to prove the activities to which the tax is being applied are actually excise taxable distinguished activities whenever the matter has been litigated by people aware of the truth. The Supreme Court has just issued a big no to that long-standing pernicious false claim about Bushhopper and the nature of the tax. 3 months ago, and though quoting the CTC, as though quoting CTC, correct the code itself in every particular, the United States Supreme Court unanimously declared that the Civil War income tax was recognized as an indirect tax under the head of excises, duties, and imposts of Bushhopper. Also in Springer versus United States in 1881. In 1895, remember the court came out in 1913, I think it said, it might have been also in this case, and said that the 1910 Act didn't change the taxability. So that's why we go back to 1881. In 1895, it wasn't on people. It wasn't on but a specific activities, as they say right here. People have missed that. And when I started seeing cases where they wouldn't do that, or the government wouldn't do that, it's like the government lying today, not bringing up the right facts before a judge. It never changed. It doesn't matter. The Uniparty is corrupt up and down. It doesn't matter who's in office, it seems. In 1895, however, in Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust Company, the court held the tax on income from property equated to a tax on the property itself, and thus was a direct tax that had to be apportioned among the states. Pollock decision sparked significant confusion and controversy throughout the United States. And when you read through these things over time, again, this is the confusion that's built in, and this is what the government capitalizes on, why you have to go to the black and white and hold fast to it and don't give up. It's how partly this state, those statements are partly how I started to see the mining law and how miners were being violated, how I was able to readjust and get them to start winning again by asserting what the law had to say. And I think there's so much to read here. I'm going to leave it right there. Those of you that are interested, those of you that have been infected, he's asking for people to take action. There's action that you can take. If you've been adversely affected, get this link. Your case will have to be subject to what he's saying here. If it's something else, it won't probably work unless there's an attribute of it, an element of it that works to negate what you were suffering. But there's a way to get back at this, and he's asking for you to do so as I would as well. So get the link. I barely touched this article. There's so much going on with it. I certainly didn't even touch the supplemental material. So if you will, this is important. This is, again, an insight on how you see how the government does to you. And it informs me on how I can tell you Trump is not doing you any good if you can't see it. Yes, I wish, I hope. The hopium is great. I would hope that people would act better in these offices, but they don't. And it's just a little bit different position that they put on each one of us. When Trump was in, we got a little bit lighter. When he got out, it got really bad. But then I showed you how he makes laws and rules or EOs that don't even match the law. And then he doesn't even follow his own EOs. He's not making America great again. We the people do that. This has been BTW RLM 625. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Wisdom.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
up a can of whoop-ass to yours like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.